Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, for Thy great goodness. We bless You and praise Your holy name for giving us life and liberty and the freedoms that we have in this country. Thank You, Father, for this congregation of Thy church. Thank You for the sick and the poor and the down and out that we have here. Thank You that they're constantly graduating from the flesh to the spirit and that we're sending a bunch of them to You, and we pray that You'll continue to bless us and keep calling people that we can teach and help us so we can teach more and more. Father, we pray for our sick and shut-ins. We've named them and those that we haven't named, and we pray that You be with them and bless them and heal them and raise them up and return them to us soon. We pray, Father, and thank You so very much for our radio ministry that goes out to all the earth. Thank You for our internet ministry. Thank You for our feeding ministry that's going out to all the poor in this area. Thank You for the F Street congregation that's with us today that's going to help us feed. We pray that You bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes, Father. Please bless them as they go home and their drive back home. Have mercy on us, Father, for we're sinners. We often fail to do the things that we should, and we often do the things that we shouldn't. We pray that You continue to forgive us and help us and guide us and discipline us as children, we pray Thee in Christ's name. Amen. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. Especially like to welcome Radio North Texas, 1630 AM Radio North Texas. We'll repeat this broadcast again this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Radio Abilene, Searcy, Arkansas. We're on three stations that are simulcast out of Arkansas. Covers most of Arkansas. Oklahoma City, covering most of central Oklahoma. Nashville, Tennessee, it covers most of Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky. And, of course, Worldwide Christian Radio that covers all of North and South America, all of Europe, Africa, the Middle East, Russia, China, all of Asia, all the Pacific Rim, Australia, New Zealand, the entire earth, over 7 billion people in our broadcast area, and we'd like to welcome them. Our jail and prison ministry this month so far has 174 baptisms. We had 70,828 who came to our website last month. They downloaded 32,007 sermons. That's down a little bit, but it was a shorter month. And so we thank the Lord for the 70,000 folks that are worshiping with us via the internet. And I'd like to ask that you also have a couple of other sick that I left off this morning. Brother Ken Thompson's brother-in-law, Tyrone Greer, and Houston has cancer, and Kara, her sister Avis Lane Wright, is in the Roberts building on the 10th floor with cancer. If you're to open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick up where we have been studying the first gospel sermon. And so in Acts chapter 2, we've studied the introduction to the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches the first gospel sermon. And then we're going to pick up reading about verse 36, Acts chapter 2. If you begin with me at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. So that's the subject, the summary of the sermon. Verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice it doesn't say, what shall we do to be saved? It's just, what can we possibly do? A cry of desperation, a cry of helplessness. What can we possibly do? We have murdered the Son of God. And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we've studied over 4 weeks the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit worked in those days, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how that baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, and the miraculous gifts were given to those whom the apostles laid hands upon. Then last week we studied the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit in the life of every Christian. Verse 39, for the promise, that promise of remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who come in the appointed way, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to the next generation, showing that it's perpetual. This is going to always be the way to be saved, to your children, and to all they that are afar off, the Gentile nations across the sea, in other words, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God calls everyone through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. In other words, this is not all of the sermon that's recorded for us here. He did a lot more preaching and teaching than this. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's really a bad translation there. The verb is passive. It should be translated be saved. Allow yourself to be saved from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A wonderful thing. On the day of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. But now, with the coming of grace and God's mercy and the church coming into the world, 3,000 are saved. Then in verse 42, which is the subject of our lesson today, and they continued steadfastly, speaking of the church, the people of God. The church is not a building, it is the people of God. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. And so this is a summary of the first worship service, the people who worshiped the first time. And how did they worship? And they continued steadfastly. Steadfastly is unmovable. If I told you, Kent, kick that wall down over there. Well, you can't kick that wall down. That wall's steadfast. You kick on that wall all day long, and you just knock your foot out of a socket. You can't kick down something that's steadfast. The Lord wants you to be steadfast in these things too. And they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. Jesus promised to lead them into all truth in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship. And so that's preferring to be with each other instead of preferring to be with worldly people. Rather be around Christians than worldly people. Also, this word is used to refer to giving of your contribution later on in Paul's writings. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread, taking the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. So this is a summary of the first worship service. And look down to verse 47. And the Lord, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord adds to the church. Now if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, verse 29. Now, the kingdom of God and the messianic banquet had been pictured in the future as being like a big supper, a wonderful supper. And so in Luke chapter 13, verse 29, Jesus said, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. They'll sit down to worship. They'll sit down to eat. They'll sit down at this great banquet that's going to come. And who's going to come? Well, we studied last week about who the invitation is for in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. It's just one of many that we showed you who the invitation is for. Isaiah 55, 1, "Ho, he, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy, yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." And this waters is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. You can come and you can receive Christ and receive the Holy Spirit without money, without price. You can't buy it. In verse 3, "Incline your ear and come and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And in the Hebrew, that verse there would be translated, the last clause of it, "I will cut the eternal everlasting sacrifice with you." In those days, when they killed a lamb, they'd cut the lamb's throat and bleed it as a sacrifice. But afterwards, the priest would split that animal right down the middle, from top to bottom, right down the middle. Right down the middle of the spine. And they'd lay both sides to each side. And so when Abraham made a covenant with God, he did that. He split the lamb and laid it to each side and walked between it. And symbolically and figuratively, God would meet him there. And he's saying, if I break this covenant, if I break this oath, then do that to me, then the lamb was burned. And so God is saying that if we worship him and we come to him, he will cut the everlasting sacrifice with us. So let's look at this parable of the Great Supper. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. We'll begin with verse 12. Let's go back and look at Luke chapter 14, verse 1, if you'd put that up, please. Luke 14, 1. "And it came to pass, he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." This was just a clever way to evaluate the Lord. And so they'd invited him over for dinner, and so they were going to have a clever evaluation of him. And there's a man there with palsy. He's sick with the palsy, and Jesus heals him. Now we're down to verse 12. "Then said he unto them that were bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made to thee." Who do you invite when you give a big dinner? If you invite your friends, your neighbors, and your cousins, and your brother-in-laws, they'll just invite you to lunch too, and then everybody will be even. Verse 13, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just." So if you turn with me now, they've been taught this. These Jews should know this. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. 58 verse 6. So Isaiah is talking to the Jews, and they're proclaiming fasts, and they're having their Sabbath days, but they're really not fasting. They're really, instead, they're taking off. Instead of going to church, they're taking off, going out to the country. They're letting their slaves do things for them. They're working their slaves, and they're working their people, and they're fat cats, and they're all rich and think that they're blessed. And so Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness." The Jews here have pretended to fast while they carried on slave trade and trafficked in souls and in the blood and the bodies of men. Is it not to loose the bands of wickedness? Opposite of what they're doing. These guys are rich, fat cats, and they're practicing slavery. To undo every heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke of bondage, in other words. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? You can't do this and eat it your own self. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bringest the poor that are cast out into thy house? Now at that time it was like the old West, where you had a traveler come and they say, can we stay with you? And you tell them, yeah, you can stay out in the barn. Well, downstairs from most houses in Israel in those days was where they kept their animals, in the ground floor. And that's where they'd have their sheep, or where they'd have their goats or their cow or whatever they had in their animals. And so they let strangers stay there. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out in thy house, and when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light, if you'll worship God in this manner, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Look at that word. It's not reward, it's rearward. And the Hebrew word is asaph, and it means your backside. God says that if you'll do this, if you'll worship in this way, and you'll practice this with the poor, he's got you back. He'll watch your back. Now, I can't think of anybody better watching my back than Almighty God, can you? Boy, what a big brother to watch my back. God himself says that I'll be a cloud before you that leads you in the daytime and a pillar of fire behind you at night. I'll watch your backside for you if you'll worship in this way. Verse 9. Then shall I call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry and say, here am I. And if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke of putting forth the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, Hebrew here is his eye sees and his soul pities and his hand gives. So when you see the hungry, do you pity and does your hand give? That's the question. If I draw out thy soul to the hungry. Here at Main Street, when I first started preaching here almost 20 years ago, we were the poorest church in town. There's 45 of us left. And I told the men, I said, let's feed the poor. And we first started feeding just a few people, maybe 20, 25 people. We started feeding maybe 20, 25 people. And then Freddie Vaughn had the idea of, let's feed the homeless. And so we started feeding the homeless too. And now we feed 150,000 meals a year. We'll feed about 400 out of here today. The homeless line up outside. There'll be all kinds of people. They'll take meals out of here. There'll be to-go plates go out of here. There'll be all kinds of food go out of here. We feed all day, every day, but Saturday. There's a pot of soup on down there. They got a pots of soup going all day from Monday through Friday downstairs. We serve soup, bologna sandwiches to the poor. We serve coffee and donuts to the poor. Our eyes sees, our heart pities, and we take care of the poor, and God has done nothing but bless us ever since. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. You think that our light hasn't risen in obscurity us, the poorest church in town, and we preach the gospel to the whole wide world? You think our light hasn't risen in obscurity? And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. Boy, I'm telling you, have I put on the weight in 20 years. The best thing I ever did was say, I don't want any salary. That's the best thing I ever did. I'm telling you, I've done nothing but been blessed and got fat ever since. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And of course, we noticed last week that that's just a metaphor for the Spirit, that the Spirit will dwell in us. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. This place right here had 45 people in it. It was under lawsuit for $120,000 from thieves who had stole all the money, every bit of the money, and was under lawsuit, and we owed $2,000 a month for a stinking copier and a computer that a line dog that was an elder here had signed, and he was a salesman, a leasing salesman, and they paid him $25,000 to sign it, and the idiot left a copy of the check, of the cashier's check, and we were being sued by an outfit out of Minnesota for the property, trying to take the property away from us. This church right here is the second or third Church of Christ in Dallas. It's 116 years old. All of the other Church of Christ got their start here. Skillman Avenue was a planting of Pekin Eastside. Pekin Eastside helped start them. The old Sears and Summit's where they came from. That's where they first started them. All the churches out, Mesquite, and all those churches out there, all came from this place right here. And this place was an old waste place. It was ready to be closed. Nobody thought we could make it. Nobody thought there'd be a church here. But if you take care of the poor, what did God say? And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. You think there hadn't been many generations here? My grandparents came to this church in 1903. My mother and dad was married in this church in 1928. I was born here in 1944. I'm the prodigal son of this church. I'm the stupid idiot, the prodigal son who left this church. I couldn't wait to get out of my daddy's house, and I didn't know any better. This is the old waste places that God has rebuilt to raise up the foundation of many generations. I'm telling you, there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of good men here. Better men than me throughout 100 years of good people here. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The restorer of the path to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, what should we do on Sunday? We should worship God. God didn't make two holidays a year, Christmas and Easter. He made 52 holidays a year. Do you have any idea what that meant to a guy that worked 7 days a week under the yoke of bondage? You have any idea what it would be like if you had to work 7 days a week as a slave in Egypt under the yoke of bondage? To get a Sabbath, a day off? God made 52 holidays a year. He didn't make two. You need to worship every Lord's Day, every Sabbath. It's God's right to receive worship from His people. If I turn away thy foot from the Sabbath from doing thy pleasure, you know, He doesn't mind if you go eat today. He doesn't mind if you watch the football game after church. But He minds if you do that instead of coming to church. That's what He minds. If I turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words, preachers. I'm telling you, there must be a need for homiletics in college, but it's ruined a many a good man. There's a great need for hermeneutics in college. There's a great need for people to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. Those are two $50 words. Hermeneutics means the interpretation of the Bible. Homiletics mean how to get up here and give a fancy speech. You need the Bible. You don't need a fancy speech from me. Nor speak thine own words. Then, if you carry on all your fasts and your Sabbaths and religious observances in the manner that had been told you since verse 6 through verse 13, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Just think what that clause could mean. Upon the high places is where false religion was practiced, on ever bammeth, upon ever high place. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. You will for God overcome false religion. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. And this church is doing that. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now the Jews had been taught that they should know what sort of worship God would like to have from them. So let's turn now back to Luke chapter 14. And we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable acapella singing and fair to middling preaching on there. There's 1,000 lessons, all kinds of written lessons, all kinds of audio lessons on there. Let's go back again to Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Let's go back and look at verse 12, please, Robert. Then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee, and a recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Verse 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Just another empty, ritualistic, pharisaical quotation that this man had to say. He's eating in the kingdom of God and he doesn't even know it. In Mark 1, verse 14 and 15, and now after John had been put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. When's the kingdom coming? Well, it's coming right then. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Go back to Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said him to him, a certain man made a great supper. God is a certain man here. A certain man, what is God like? Well, he made a great supper. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And this word here, bade in the Greek, it means he asked them, and they RSVP'd, they told him, we'll be there. You can count on me, you can count on us, I'm going to be there. And so they RSVP'd him and told him that they'd be there. Well, when did the Jews RSVP God? Well, in Exodus 24, verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And they entered into the covenant of the law with God. Boy, that was the wrong answer. They should have said, oh God, your law is so hard to obey perfectly. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. We're going to try to obey that. But it's going to be really hard, and we're going to need your mercy, and we're going to need your grace, and we're going to need your forgiveness to get us through it. But they promised and said that all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. In Joshua 1:16, they did the same thing. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses. Did they hearken unto Moses? No. According as we hearken to Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God be with thee as he was with Moses. And so God made a great banquet, and he bade many. He asked all the Jews, please come. Luke 14, verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. We sing a song like that, don't we? Again, all things are ready, come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. See, we sing a song about that, and we ask people to come. We bid everybody come. God made a great supper, and he bid people to come, and he sent his servant. Who's the servant? Well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 is the first of what's called the great servant passages. Now this, we're just going to look in the 42nd chapter, but it's found in the 43rd, in the 44th, the 49th, the 50th, the 51st, the 52nd, and then finally, the greatest of them all, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. All these are talking about the Messiah, the Christ who's going to come, who's going to be the great servant of God. He's the one who's going to bid everybody come, for all things are now ready. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, and that clause there in Hebrew is echmakbo, and it's upon whom I lean. And it was the custom of an older king in those days to lean upon the arm of his most faithful servant. Now, Jordy has gotten to be a senior citizen back here, and so Manuel has now become his echmakbo. He's leaning upon Manuel. Manuel's taking care of him. Manuel's taking him out to dinner. Manuel's feeding him. It's upon him who I lean. And God is depending on this Messiah who's going to come. God is depending on him to get the job done. And he's going to get the job done, this Christ that's going to come. Behold my servant upon whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus as a dove, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He will publish to the nations. This judgment is published, really. He will publish God's gospel to the nations, to the Gentiles, to you and I. And he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. He's not going to make a big fuss and cause a riot when he's arrested. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. He's going to be totally nonviolent, this Christ that's going to come. And he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait upon his law. The Gentile nations across the sea, the gospel is going to be universal. It's going to go out from here to all the earth. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. This Christ, God has called him in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant. It's like a barbecue. It's like me telling y'all, hey, let's have a dinner and everybody bring something. Y'all all bring a salad. Y'all bring a dessert. Y'all bring a vegetable. But I'm going to bring the sacrifice. I'm going to bring the meat offering. God says, who's he going to give? And I will give thee, the Christ, for a covenant. And this word covenant here in Hebrew is an everlasting covenant for the ages. He's going to give the Christ, the Messiah, for an everlasting covenant for the ages to the people. For a light, Hebrew is olam, for a light to the Gentiles. We would still be in darkness and lost in our sins and idolatry if it was not for Christianity and the light that's gone out from the preaching of the gospel. To open the blind's eyes, these are people that are spiritually blind. Jesus is going to heal the physically blind, we see back in the 35th chapter. But these are the spiritually blind. To bring out the prisoners from prison. This isn't a jail and prison ministry. This is a prison that Satan has people bound in. People that are bound in sin. I'm telling you now, if you're hooked on dope, you're bound in prison, you're hooked in something that you can't control. If you're hooked on alcohol, you're hooked in a prison that you can't control. Christ can free you from that. He can loose those bonds from that. If you'll come to Christ, if you'll come in the appointed way, he will begin to get you over all of that. To open the blind's eyes, to bring the prisoners from prison, and them and sit in darkness out of the prison house. Back now to Luke chapter 14. In Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Luke chapter 14, verse 18. And he said, go into the city. Excuse me, I got the wrong. Turning all over the Bible, you get lost every once in a while. Let's get to chapter 17 and get to context. Luke chapter 14, verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. What a lying excuse. Who in the world can buy, who is rich enough to buy ground sight unseen? Would you do that, Daniel? Buy ground sight unseen? Huh? Would anybody do that? He's moving up to, having to move up to Seattle. He's up there looking at places, aren't you? When I bought the house over here I live in, I'm telling you now, I crawled under it. I was in the roof. I walked the property line. What do you mean buying ground sight unseen? That's crazy. That's out of fairy tale land. That's the way you buy swamp land. Nobody is rich enough to buy ground sight unseen. This guy just don't want to go to church, does he? He's just got a lying excuse. In one consent, they began to make what excuse? And the first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. God has something to say about that, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I remember you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer, and when I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delight not. In Jeremiah 7:13, and now because thou hast done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. I called you, but you answered not. And of course, God has made every effort to save all of us, all of our lives. In Isaiah 53:1, that greatest chapter in the Bible, it begins by who hath believed our report? Who believed the words of Isaiah and the words of Jesus? It's a rhetorical question. It means nobody believed. Back to Luke 14:19. And another said, I have five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another lying, silly excuse. Five yoke of oxen, that's 10 oxen. That was great wealth in the ancient world. A wealthy owner of oxen wouldn't go pull a plow his own self. Can't you see this wealthy man, this great big fat cat behind 10 oxen pulling a plow on Sunday? He's not about to do that. He'd have his slave do that. He don't want to go to church. He just don't want to go to church. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. A legal excuse. He's giving God his word right back to him. In Deuteronomy 24:5, it says, but when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he has taken. You got a year honeymoon in those days. You have to do anything. And so he give God a legal excuse. Said, I don't have to come. Well, he could have come. He RSVP'd. He told God, I'll be there. You can count on me. And he could have brought his wife to church with him, couldn't he? He didn't need to leave her at home by herself. He could have brought her with him. Surely y'all will do better than that, yeah. And have a better story when you show up there in front of him than this. Verse 21. And so that servant, Jesus, came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being very angry, said unto his servant, go quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." When did Jesus come and show his master these things? Well, Daniel gives us a prophecy of it in Daniel 7, verse 13. "And I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man," one like Jesus, "came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days." Did he come back to earth? Where'd he come to? The Ancient of Days. He came to God. This is a prophecy of Jesus being caught up to heaven at his ascension. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they, the angels probably, brought him near before him. And they was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. When did Jesus get his kingdom? At his resurrection, at his ascension to heaven. A kingdom that's his church, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. It doesn't say they will. It says they should. And I'm telling you, you should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so God told the servant to send people to the what? "Go out quickly in the streets and lanes in the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Not just the fat cats, but to the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Lomax here is a blind man. God wants him saved. He'll be able to see in that resurrection. His son doesn't have any legs. His son will walk and kick the can in the resurrection. There's a better promise for all of us if we'll be a part of it. Verse 22. "And a servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." There's plenty of room for everybody. We don't have to be greedy with this thing. You guys can bring somebody to church with you next week. I'm telling you, there'll be enough sandwiches or enough hot dogs to go around. Don't worry about it. There's plenty. There's heaven has enormous room. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He went to the cross to prepare a place for you. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Luke 14, verse 23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And that Greek word there, compel, means twist their arm around behind their back until it aches. Do whatever you've got to do to get them to be saved, because this is a matter of eternity that we're talking about here. This is a matter of everlasting life or everlasting loss. The stakes are enormous. Our souls are at stake here. Verse 24. "For I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper." All the mercy and the compassion of God is just boundless. But the justice of God is just as great. It's just exactly like the scales of justice. On one hand is mercy and grace and forgiveness and love and eternal life and heaven and eyes not seen, and ears not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things of God that God has prepared for those that love Him. And on the other hand is death and hell and punishment and tribulation and anguish on every soul that worketh evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Bible says. Oh, man, let me tell you about a lost man. Turn with me to Psalms 88. Psalms 88. Poor Korah. Man named Korah. Korah was a man that was, he was real big shot, fancy. He was right behind Moses. And he decided one day, well, I'll just take over. I'll just take over, and Moses assumed too much authority, and so I'm just going to take some of this authority from Moses, and we'll become the priest. Aaron can't be the only priest. We'll become the priest, and we'll do it our own selves. And Moses said, if these men die the normal death, then God has not spoken by me. But if a new thing happened, if the earth opened and these men go down alive into the pit, then you'll know that the Lord has spoken by me. And sure enough, they showed up there to do their worshiping, and the ground opened and swallowed them up, and they went out alive into hell. Now, 500 years later, King David, God puts His Spirit on King David and inspires him to write about Korah, and this is what Korah has been doing for the last 500 years. This guy went down 500 years earlier into the pit alive, and this is the words of Korah. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. He still hadn't figured out that this is permanent. This situation he's in is permanent. Let my prayer come before Thee. He's been there 500 years and he hadn't figured out it's permanent yet. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thy ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted as them that go down into the pit. I'm as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lieth in the grave, whom Thou rememberest no more. When an army had a battle and they had a list of the troops, and when the battle was over, the sergeant major, he'd go strike the names of the dead from the list. And that's the Hebrew term that's used here. Who the people have been struck. This guy here has been struck from God's list. God can't even remember that he existed. He remembers him no more. To be beyond the memory of God, to be beyond any hope. And they that are cut off from Thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and in the deep. Oh, a good, loving God, boo-hoo-hoo, wouldn't do that. Preach them love and cool whip. And give them cool whip. Don't give them the truth. Jesus had just as much to say about hell as He had to say about heaven. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit and in the darkness of the deep. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and Thou hast afflicted me with all Thy ways. Thou hast put my acquaintance far from me. It's not going to be a party down there, a keg party down there, whether you gather around with all your buddies. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. My eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I've called daily upon Thee. I stretch out my hands unto Thee. He cries and prays to God every day. Will I show wonders unto the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise Thee? Of course, those who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord, and we'll be praising Him for eternity. But how about those who put it off? Who say, well, I'm just almost persuaded, but I'm not going to come today. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Yeah, to those that are saved. Shall thy wonders be made known in the dark? Shall thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning my prayer shall prevent thee. Prevent means go first. This guy, Korah, says, I'm first in hell to pray every morning. Just imagine what that means. Out of all the millions of people who've gone to hell, Korah is proud of the fact he knows God, he knew God at one time, he saw all of the miracles of Egypt, he walked through the Red Sea, on the sea on one hand and on the other, he knows there's a God. He just shot himself in the foot. He's blown him. Boy, if you shot yourself in the foot, you can do something about it. But you can't do anything about it after you're dead. Korah's proud of the fact that he's the first one in hell to pray, but it doesn't do a bit of good. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning my prayer shall come first, prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Now he's let it out. He's still a con man, still a lying hypocrite. He's rubbing it like a kid rubbing his eye that burned the house down, playing with matches, saying, Lord, why are you spanking me? He knows why he's being spanked. Why hidest thy face from me? I'm afflicted and ready to die. From my youth up, while I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They've come round about me daily like water. They've compassed me altogether. Lover and friend, thou hast put far from me and my acquaintance into darkness. That's going to be your fate if you don't obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can change that just like that this morning. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. You can repent of your sins, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. And you can come, you can march right down to the front here. You can meet me right down at the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?